This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Send the tweets, send the hot takes at Ken Carmen, C-A-R-M-A-N. Coming up in a little bit, we revisit a conversation that we had a few weeks ago, thanks to Joe Judge and Marco Colombo, I have a new contestant for the Royal Rumble of NFL coaches. That coming up, I did not know this about this guy. That coming up a little bit later on. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. I got to bring in Connor. Connor, hello.
What's going on, Ken?
Before I get into Masters ratings here, I told Connor during the break I had to kill a mouse last night. I didn't like that. It was a bad time. I don't like killing things I can't eat. You understand? I don't even like killing anything. It's just that there's a sport and then there's a food factor to it that I'm okay with, that I've made peace with. I just don't like having to kill things I can't eat. And I felt bad because I'm downstairs. I'm working on the show for today, and I got such a late start. And Liz, we have a mouse in the house. And I'm going, oh, God. So I have to go upstairs. I have to deal with all that. And I saw it for a second. You said you've dealt with a mouse real quick?
Yes, we had a mouse in my apartment, and we thought, like, okay, he's not that bad. But then we're worried that a whole family of mice lived in the walls. So we got mouse traps. The mouse comes running in, gets into the trap. But the problem was the trap didn't actually kill the mouse.
Oh,
he was squealing. You know, I felt bad because he was kind of cute. So what we ended up just doing is we took him, we put a little bit of oil on him to get him off the trap, and we let him outside. A mouse trap has to actually kill the mouse when you buy it. Otherwise, you're just going to feel terrible that you killed this little, tiny, poor little mouse.
Yeah. I don't have a cat. I wasn't able to put a cat on it. Felt bad. And I had to get like a... I didn't realize peanut butter was so good. I swear to God, I thought I was just going to put cheese there. And that the mouse would go after the cheese. And then I went back upstairs, and Liz had peanut butter out, and she was putting peanut butter on the traps, and she put the traps out. And I thought I'd sit there and watch and see where it was going to go and if it was going to happen. We ended up going to bed, and then I came downstairs this morning, and Liz goes, you need to make sure you go downstairs first so the kids don't walk in on a bloodbath down there. And I said, well, Liz, it's a mouse. It's not like we're going to be walking into the Tate LaBianca house, for crying out loud here. I think this one's going to be okay. I went downstairs, and you could tell there was some struggle, if you will, Connor, which is not something that I really wanted to come upon, but I was able to clean it up fairly efficiently, take care of it, throw it out in the trash, and away we go. We're hoping that there isn't any others, but we only saw one, and then you feel bad. Mice are cute. They're small. A ton of mice are not cute. One mouse is cute. Is that not true?
Yeah, one mouse is pretty cute. But if it's like five or six or seven, then it gets gross.
Two mice are not that cool.
Yeah, like five mice equals one rat. Like one New York City rat is like five mice. So one rat is disgusting. But one mouse, he's kind of cute. It's like Mickey Mouse. He squeaks. He's not bad.
One mouse is fine. If you have one mouse, I'm still able to take some pity and say, this is a shame. You broke the trust. If I would have seen him out in the backyard or something like that, I'm not going to go out of my way to go get the mouse out in the backyard. Now, some people say that's wrong, and I should. I don't care. I'm not going to go do it. If I see one mouse, I feel sympathetic. I feel empathy. I feel sad. Like, I'm sorry, you broke the treaty. You're not supposed to come in the house. I have to do this. I'm sorry about this. Unless you just decide to leave, and you ain't going to decide to leave. It's getting cold outside. I need to take care of this business. So I had to take care of the business. I felt bad for the mouse. I thought it might be a learning experience for our sons, but I walked downstairs. There was a little bit more blood than I thought there was going to be. So I decided that, okay, fine, I'm just going to take care of this, and we're going to move on. But I did feel bad this morning about the mouse, Connor. I will say that. I feel bad about these things.
I know, and you feel bad because you're like, look, man, if you just didn't come in the house, we wouldn't have to do this to you. You know,
yeah.
If you just stayed and kept your distance, it wouldn't be an issue.
Yes.
But you came right into the house, so we kind of have to get rid of you because he doesn't know it's your house. He thinks it's his house now.
Yeah.
So you got to get him out.
Yep. And again, it's not like the cartoons, man. All it took was a little bit of peanut butter on a trap, and, you know, that's it and that's all. 855-212-4CBS. Speaking about feeling bad, I think a lot of people want to feel bad. And there's – I got to be careful how I say this. I think there are people out there that kind of, for whatever reason, enjoy being miserable and enjoy some misery. And I think it's even true with sports fans. Earlier this week, there was reaction, swift reaction, to the Masters and how low the Masters ratings were. And there were people, man, if 2020 is even worse. Well, there's a lot of doom and gloom folks out there. And I always want to change this narrative because I don't think it's true. Yes, we're in a pandemic. Yes, we were in an election year. Both those things do affect sports ratings. People want to bring politics into it. You are more than welcome to bring your politics into it. Yes, I do think that politics, especially when you're looking at, they still have an antiquated version of collecting data, of collecting ratings data. A lot of people who are older Americans still have cable boxes. It's simpler for them. A lot of younger Americans who are in their early 20s consume sports through Hulu, consume sports through Yahoo in the past, and YouTube in the past, and a couple of other ways, ESPN Plus, so on and so forth, the CBS Sports HQ, everybody. We consume it in a different way. It's become more a la carte. Now, over time, I think it's going to be a little bit different for the consumer because eventually the consumer is going to start to think of it, and it's already happening, where they start to add up all the charges and goes, I could just be paying for cable here if this were the way. I don't know if I need to pay for all this a la carte stuff. But it's become more competitive. And still, the ratings will take a decline until they find new ways to measure where it's at on Hulu, where it's at on other things. The ratings are still going to take a decline. And I'm not going to sit here and act like those other factors aren't a part of it. They are. Pandemic, politics, election, those things, they play against what we like to talk about in sports. But this year was supposed to be different for a lot of folks because of the pandemic. We were supposed to get this great big cornucopia of sports, and it was supposed to be a feast. Here we go, September. We'll have baseball. We'll have football, college and pro. Some states are playing high school football. You'll have that. We'll have NBA basketball. We'll have auto racing. We'll have tennis. We'll have golf. We'll have the Masters in November. I think we found out that while all those things are true, and you could be doom and gloom, and those things share a responsibility towards why the Masters ratings were in the tank this year to the tune of a drop of 51%, the lowest since 1957, which is a crazy number to see. And there's plenty of golf reasons why that might be. No Tiger Woods at the end because of what happened in round three on Saturday. Dustin Johnson, he didn't have a lot of flubs. He was pretty dominant over the end of the time. It was a sink of, according to Sports Media Watch, 51% in ratings, 48% in viewership. A drop from Tiger Woods' iconic win last year, which aired in an even earlier time slot, 9 a.m. rather than 10, but on the tournament's usual April weekend, aha, a 6.9 share or 6.9 rating with 10.8.1 million people watching compared to 2018, the last time the final round aired at its usual late afternoon window. The rating and viewership fell from 57%. It fell 57% from a 7.9 and a 13.03. Sunday's final round was a 3.4 rating with 5.59 million viewers on CBS. And people look at this through the wrong prism. We thought this was going to be a bountiful harvest, a huge feast among all of us. It ended up, we just cannibalized each other. And this is why they have the NBA Finals, why you could say, gosh, why do they have the NBA Finals in June? This is exactly why they have the NBA Finals and the Stanley Cup Final in June. This is why sports are spread out on their calendar the way it is, because they don't want to be competing with what goes on Saturday and what goes on Sunday in the fall. Most of these sports are consumed by their hardcore audience and people they need, casual fans. The NFL has the most casual fans of any product out there, and they also have the most hardcore fans, with maybe the exception of college football. But the difference is that there are far fewer casual college football fans that will sit down and watch college football than will watch the NFL. I come from a region in Ohio where people love Ohio State football. They do not watch other football games. I do. Some people around me do because I do this for a living. They'll watch Notre Dame. They'll watch Coastal Carolina. They'll sit down with a bunch of TV screens. Phil Steele's from Cleveland. Phil Steele watches 12 different screens at once, all a bunch of different college football games. There are people in Ohio. There are people in Pennsylvania. There are people in Alabama, people in Texas. They sit down, they watch Penn State, Alabama, Michigan, Texas, Texas A&M, and that's the game they watch. That's it. People who are on those same wavelengths, the next day, they will sit down and they will watch their Cowboys at 4 o'clock, but to lead up to that, they're going to watch the Houston Texans at 1. Their ratings matter. Their ratings count against all these other sports. Football is a rationalized, generalized populace that everybody wants to be a part of. It is our American game. People are paying attention to gambling more than they ever have before now that that's gone mainstream. People pay attention to fantasy football more than it's ever been before, and that's been mainstream for the last nearly 30 years. And when you're playing other sports against football, while yes, I know the people who like to pontificate on Twitter for their cause politically want to blame one side or they want to blame any other thing, this is going to matter during the NFL football season and during the football season in general. I'm a golf fan. I like to play golf. I suck at it. I like to watch the Masters. I like to watch golf tournaments. If it's on in the background while I'm doing this show, I will put on the Honda Open in the spring or something else. I'll watch golf in the background if nothing else is going on. But guess what I did last week? College football started. I was looking at Twitter about Tiger Woods and about anybody else. I started watching college football games. That's what was on. I just naturally, my mind went somewhere else. I started watching college football. Last Sunday, watched the Browns, watched other football. Away we went. When you're up, and it's still competition, when you're up against the entity that symbolizes America, you're going to lose. And I don't think it's something that's bad because of the pandemic or because of politics or because of the election. Other than the pandemic, these things happen every 4 years. This is something that sports in general have to deal with, is that we pay attention to other things, and the election happens in the fall, and we pay attention to the election in the fall. These things are normal. But when you're putting all these sports at one time, guys like me thought it was going to be great. We're going to get to all these sports. My gosh, who knows what we're going to watch? We have so many options. And that's the problem. There's too many options. A guy who likes golf like me, who is not a PGA pro by any means, but a guy who likes to watch golf, April symbolizes something. April symbolizes the beginning of the sports year. We're just starting to play baseball, Major League Baseball. I've watched opening day. I'll probably watch a little bit of baseball throughout the week to get going within the week, to get going with my baseball season. I've just got out of the college basketball tournament, and here we are with the Masters, the official first sign of spring to a lot of fans out there. You have my undivided attention. There's no football. I'll get to watch 60 minutes after it. It's going to be great. But if I put that in the fall, and you don't have Tiger Woods, and even if you do, I saw Tiger win last year. Hey, I'm a big Cardinals fan, man. Hey, I'm a big Cowboys fan, man. I only have how many of these games to deal with? And I had this argument earlier this week where I cover the Browns. The Browns and Texans were playing. The Browns came into that game at 5-3. The Texans were 2-6. The Texans have had a terrible year. They fired a head coach, and the game was bad. The game was not entertaining. It was really a boring football game. But to the fan bases that were participants in that, you don't notice that until after. You might sit down and go, man, this is such a struggle. You don't say it's boring until afterwards. Whether you win or lost, that's inconsequential because your emotions are in there. And with the exception of a very few niche fan bases, niche audiences, no one, or a very few, will put Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson or Dustin Johnson over their favorite football team, their favorite team that they've grown up with, because they're a part of the group, and these are only 16 Sundays a year. Out of 52, that's a very short amount of time. I feel I must support my team. I feel I must support my group. It feels like a community. I have to support them. I have to watch them. And I don't notice in the middle of the game, because I have an emotional connection and I want my team to win, I don't notice how unentertaining it might be. So when you have all these sports just in the same time frame, all they're doing is eating each other. And you get these type of responses. You get these type of results. 855-212-4CBS. It all is all explainable. I don't think anybody should freak out over these numbers. I don't think anybody should lose their mind over these numbers. If I were one of the people who were in charge of the golf, of the PGA, of the USGA, of any of this, I would go with the same numbers to any advertisers I ever have. I would start with that, and I would start with more. You know where you stand, and that's okay. Because in usual times, when we do get back to it, you'll bounce right back up. If we have the Masters again on time in April next year, I would expect things to pick up precipitously. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up next, hubris is a dangerous emotion. And I've said I've hated him my entire life. If I say I hate him, and I'm saying this, I think it's time for a change. It's Ken Carman on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Ken Carman Show.
855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up here next. In the Battle Royale of coaches, I don't think anybody could get Mike Vrabel. I want to thank Joe Judge and Mark Colombo personally because I get to redo a fun topic. I'm going to bring Connor in on it. It's going to be a fantastic time. I get to look forward to that coming up at 1:40 p.m. Eastern. I want to get to Sean Payton, and then I got to get back to Ben Roethlisberger because there's two separate audiences that can hear it, and I want to be able to say this in front of my home one. First with Sean Payton. Boy, it better go your way tomorrow with Taysom Hill. I think this is hubris run amok. I know Sean Payton knows more about football than me, you, everybody out there listening. Unless Bill Belichick happens to be listening to this show right now, which he's not, he knows more about football than you do. And he knows more about football than I do. And he knows Taysom Hill. I don't know Taysom Hill. I cannot believe he's starting Taysom Hill in this football game. He compared him to Steve Young. I'm flabbergasted. The guy's over 30 years old. Now, he has been injured before, and he's a good story. I don't have anything against Taysom Hill personally. But to say that you're going to start this guy and have him run your offense and throw passes and do these things, boy, you better hope. You better hope it goes that way. Because I think what Sean Payton has done has been pretty remarkable throughout his career. He has helped Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a great quarterback in his own right, but he has helped Drew Brees tremendously. He's worked with Drew Brees very, very well. He got Teddy Bridgewater a second contract and a second lease on life in Carolina. Teddy Bridgewater can help himself. I do trust Teddy Bridgewater to take care of the football, complete most of the passes. I wouldn't trust him for a Hail Mary, but how many times do we see that? How many times do we need that? Sean Payton's done a good job. He's a good football coach, good offensive mind. This I'm skeptical of because I wanted to see whether or not I was right on Jameis. Because I don't know if you could do it twice. I don't know if you're going to re-energize Jameis Winston's career. And maybe Jameis still gets that chance, but now that Jameis sits behind Taysom Hill, what are you going to do with Taysom Hill that's going to be so different? Because I've seen Taysom Hill go in there, and when he's lined up in the slot and when he's lined up in the backfield and doing other things, he can do some interesting things for an offense. I've also seen him kind of flub it up. Seen him kind of mess it up. And I won't even apologize. I'm just not a believer in the guy. I'm not a believer. I feel that if you were that good and you are behind one of the all-time greats, so there is a plausible answer for this because a healthy Drew Brees, you're not sitting for anybody. That's true. But you pay Taysom Hill to stay and be a backup and be your quarterback and to be the guy who flourishes. I don't know if that's going to pay off this week. I don't know if that's going to pay off over a given period of time. Hubris is a rough word, and it's a scary emotion, and I fear that might be playing into it. I know Sean Payton knows a ton. I know he's one of the most powerful coaches in the NFL. You do as well. I just don't believe that this is going to work for him. 855-212-4CBS. With another quarterback that I think it's been working for has been Ben Roethlisberger. And I have been fit to be tied with Ben Roethlisberger. I opened up the show with this earlier today, and I wanted to bring it back in this one because I wasn't on locally in Cleveland, and I'm on locally in Cleveland now, and I have to be able to get it off my chest. Anybody who knows anything about this show, and Connor's going to learn soon, I will speak to you as a fan sometimes. I'll speak to you as an analyst most of the time. And every now and then, I take the headset off, and I speak as a fan. And so I'll take the headset off, and I'll speak to you as a fan right now. That throughout my entire life, I've not been able to stand the Pittsburgh Steelers, and I've not been able to stand Ben Roethlisberger while he's been a Pittsburgh Steeler. Now, part of that's my own damn fault for how I grew up. Part of that's my own team's fault for them not being able to pull their head out of their ass to do something really, really great over the last 20 years. Hasn't been Ben Roethlisberger's fault. Hasn't been the Pittsburgh Steelers' fault. But you know what? I'm a fan, and I don't want to blame my own team. I want to blame them. That's me talking to you as a fan and telling you how I feel about Ben Roethlisberger as a fan. However, and I've said it a million times, as a fan and talking football only, I've hated the Pittsburgh Steelers and I've hated Ben Roethlisberger. But I must respect you to hate you. If I don't respect you, I don't care. And if I don't care, how can I hate something I don't care about? But I respect the Steelers and I respect Ben Roethlisberger's play. And so because of that, and because I respect it so highly, because it stands right directly in my way of my own personal happiness as a football fan, I have to hate him. And I've hated him for a long time. And I've wanted to tear him down. I've been waiting for the other shoe to drop my entire life, because when I watch Ben Roethlisberger play over these last 17 years, I've been disappointed. As an analyst, yes. As a fan, I'm fine with him only winning two Super Bowls. I'm fine with the Steelers only winning two Super Bowls over that time. I was happy to see them lose Super Bowl 45 to the Green Bay Packers. But to talk to you again as an analyst now, I've been disappointed by Ben Roethlisberger's career. I think with his size, his speed, his natural God-given ability, we talk about Tom Brady as the best quarterback to ever play the position. Whether or not you want to argue that and argue for Young or Otto Graham or whoever it might be, that's not the argument I'm trying to have. But if most of us believe that Tom Brady's the best because he plays in this generation, then that makes me that much more disappointed in Ben Roethlisberger. Roethlisberger's 6'5". At his playing weight, he's probably the size of some offensive lineman in the league. At least in the past he's been. His foot speed has been that of top-end tight ends. He probably would have a good catching ability if he needed to. He has the same type of size of what I talked to you about. His feet would probably be as good as any left tackle out there in natural ability. This is a guy who's been a hybrid in his own right. We just haven't noticed. He's big. He's strong. He can stand there. He can take hits. He's hard to bring down. He can move. He can do all these things, but we think of him as a statuesque quarterback because we know we've seen the arm. We've seen the delivery. We've seen the throw. We've seen the big arm. We think of it that way, but when you put his entire resume together of his physical prowess, he's one of the best prospects I've ever seen. And I thought the best example of this was the Tennessee game. New Ben, not as mobile, maybe not as durable as he once was because he's 38, but wiser. He works harder now in the workout room. He works harder now in the classroom. He's been better. He's been more effective. And then I saw in the second half, I saw old Ben, dumber, lazier, too reliant on his natural gifts. There's a personal dislike because as a fan, I know of some of the things that he's been accused of. And I know of some of the things that he's been accused of that haven't been good. But I also know that what I see has been a great quarterback. And because he's focused too much on his, or not focused enough on hard work, and he's relied too much on maybe natural gifts, and I do accuse him of not putting in the work necessary to be one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time, I think that he should have at least two more Super Bowls, maybe even three, and we wouldn't be talking about Tom Brady that way. That's why I've been disappointed. Underline that one. That's why I've been disappointed with Ben Roethlisberger. This year, though, Well, I think that's the truth. This year, though, what I've seen has been unfair, unfounded, and flatly embarrassing by a few different entities. I use my buddies in Pittsburgh as an example at 93.7 The Fan, where Andrew Filippone, who's on right after me at 2 p.m., had a tweet and had an example from Pro Football Focus where they had Daniel Jones ranked ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. They had a running back ranked ahead of Ben Roethlisberger. Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley and that Giants backfield with somebody else at quarterback have a very bright future. How Pro Football Focus has him ranked ahead of Ben Roethlisberger, I don't know. Maybe they're on good drugs. I can't tell you. I see the story from Dan Graziano of ESPN. Now, I'm sure that he's coming up with different scenarios. He's paid to come up with different scenarios. I'm not going to point my arrows at him. He seems to be a reasonable guy. But to say that he could be cut because, well, he's under a $41 million cap hit. Folks, I don't know any other way to tell you. If Ben Roethlisberger were playing like Carson Wentz, I can give you an argument. Ben Roethlisberger has 22 touchdowns, 4 interceptions this year. He has just over, I think, 2,200 yards. I have to relook that up. He's been about as effective as it comes. And last year they went and they made a trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. They gave up a first-round pick, and people ripped them for that, when I could tell you if they were going to draft at that level, the player that you would want is a player as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick. If you wanted to draft a secondary guy, the guy you're drafting you want to be as good as Minkah Fitzpatrick, why don't you just give up the first-round pick and get Minkah Fitzpatrick? But I was an idiot then, even though it's been proven to be smart over time. The Steelers have done everything they can to make Ben Roethlisberger better, to put a good team on the field for Ben Roethlisberger. The defensive rotation has been worked out over time. The offensive line has been cultivated over time. Guys like Chase Claypool, who he still makes better, can you tell me that Chase Claypool would be the same type of wide receiver in the NFL in a lot of other different situations? I don't think you could. Eric Ebron continues to pay off, and he was a disaster at the end in Indianapolis, and he was a disaster basically his entire career with the Detroit Lions, the short time he was there, which he was drafted by. But somehow Eric Ebron's able to show up. Maybe it's a Roethlisberger difference, wouldn't you think? But still, there's other entities that want to say that he's not one of the top guys. And remember, this is all coming from a hater of Ben Roethlisberger, mind you. It doesn't make me feel better to say these words. In fact, it pains me gratefully. So if you are listening in Pittsburgh, know this, that I'm hating the words that are coming out of my mouth. But it should carry that much more weight because I know I can't lie to you. The third example I had, and probably the worst one, was Chris Sims, and to be flatly honest, and I said this at the beginning of the show, Chris Sims didn't have him in his top 10, and the only reason I noticed it is because Andrew Filippone and Chris Muller, and I think Chris Mack of their morning show over there made a big deal about it, and frankly, I really don't respect Chris Sims' opinion on basically anything out there, and I think he's kind of just a clown who's trying to get everybody's attention. But it works out because he's got my attention, and I'm able to say his name, so he's the one who wins in the end, not me, because you won't know who I am probably at the end of this show, and you don't know Chris Sims. But maybe you'll respect my opinion because there's nothing I respect about what Chris Sims says on the air. So those examples I find flatly embarrassing. Because if I were to just look up the stats, if this is what we're going on, I see Russell Wilson up there as number one. Russell Wilson's an MVP. Russell Wilson is doing right now what Ben Roethlisberger has had to do in his career. Keep his team above 500, keep his team afloat. Keep his team in the mix, keep his team in the conversation as one of the threats. And you know how bad that defense is. They are not a complete football team. Russell Wilson is in his prime. He's playing some of the best football he's ever played. And he's keeping them there. It's the same thing Ben Roethlisberger has done. But we won't say the same thing when it's getting towards the end with Russell Wilson that we are about Ben Roethlisberger. We don't say the same stuff about Tom Brady, or certainly not Drew Brees. We all love Drew Brees. We would never say that about Drew Brees. We're not saying that about Aaron Rodgers. Because Ben Roethlisberger has been efficient this year, that's a problem. I don't like Ben Roethlisberger. I don't like him as a guy. He's been an a-hole in his history. Steelers fans, the most ardent Steelers fan, even knows that. I'm willing to give people a chance. I'm willing to give people a chance to change. I know that he's found the Lord here over the last year. I don't want to be a cynic. It's not my place. I know that I've talked to people who are cynical about it, and you know what cynical people always say. when you start talking to God, it's because everybody on earth don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Now, those aren't my words. I'm willing to give him a chance on that. But there are still people out there who feel that way strongly about Ben Roethlisberger. And I know that there's plenty of media members who feel that way about Ben Roethlisberger. And I think that we're willing to let that creep into our heads when we judge him. I can't do it. I, as a fan, talking to you as a fan now, I want him to fail. I want the Steelers to fail. There'd be nothing more I'd like other than to see the Browns achieve than to see the Steelers fail. But I'm not going to get on here and lie to you like others have. That's an embarrassment. 855-212-4CBS. We'll get to some of you guys. And coming up, I want it to happen. It's either going to be a spectacular success or a spectacular failure. It'll still be spectacular. And I want to thank Joe Judge personally because I get to have fun again. It's Ken Carmen on CBS Sports Radio. Right now, it's the latest sports update with Erica Herskowitz.
This is the Ken Carmen Show.
Speak now for Eva, hold your peace. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. That's the toll-free line sponsored by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico, they make it easy to bundle your home and car insurance together. Having a home, it's hard work, so get a quote at geico.com today. That's easy. Tomorrow, the NFL on CBS slate features two of the AFC's best, going head-to-head when Derrick Henry and the Titans take on Lamar Jackson's Ravens or the Steelers looking to avoid the upset against the Jaguars. It all begins with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. The NFL is on CBS. I want to see James Harden go to Brooklyn. I got to thank Joe Judge in a moment. I want to see James Harden go to Brooklyn. I think it's either going to be a spectacular failure or a spectacular success. It's still going to be entertaining either way. That's what I demand. I demand entertainment. If the NBA insists on us just watching it for the essence of the players and having this traveling road show or anything else like this, then I demand to be entertained. I don't think it's going to work out. I think Kyrie's a whack job from Neptune. I think Kevin Durant has a bit of a problem with arguing with 14-year-olds on social media. Don't like that. Not a fan of a grown man getting into arguments with 14-year-olds on Twitter from his burner accounts. I don't think you really need to feel the noise there. Ohio State just scored again. It's 27-7. I don't know if anybody's going to touch Ohio State this year in the Big Ten. Certainly ain't going to be Michigan. I don't think he should work about that noise. I don't really know much about James Harden other than the play. That one's a tough nut to crack. But I want to see it happen. I want to see if it can work. It's such a weird mix over there in Brooklyn. Steve Nash, is he the head coach? Is he just the embodiment of a head coach? Is he just a helper? Depends on which one of the great triumvirate you ask as soon as James Harden gets there. They said, oh, we wanted Steve Nash because he's not like a head coach, but we want him to be the head coach, but we're the ones who are in charge. Okay, well, we'll see how it goes. Maybe it will be successful. I don't know. I want to be entertained, and it will be entertaining. I also don't blame Anthony Edwards for what he said about basketball. A lot of people got upset. Just got to get a couple of draft thoughts off my chest. I do want James Harden to end up with Brooklyn because I want to be either entertained by a tremendous failure or a success, and I don't mind what Anthony Edwards said. I felt it was pretty refreshing. To be frank, I've gotten a little bit tired of this whole weird love affair that people claim to have with basketball. It's always some romanticism of the game. Oh, my God. You don't hear about it with other sports. I don't hear it about with baseball. I don't hear it as much with football. It's always this weird love affair, romance. Oh, I love basketball. So, oh, it's a love story. Oh, I don't care. Yeah, Derek Jeter said it himself. He don't like watching baseball. He likes owning a team, but he don't like watching baseball. He likes playing baseball. Anthony Edwards, he said he'd rather be playing football. We'll see how it works out for him. Hope it works out okay. Hope it works out okay for Timberwolves fans, but I found it was a little bit refreshing. I'll probably hammer him for it later on if he's not as good. But I found it a little bit refreshing to get that out of him. I wish him tremendous success. I can't believe I'm saying this. I think the Knicks did a really good job. I know you might want to record that. Clearing up cap space, trying to bring in somebody who can help out, taking a player with a decent upside there in Obi Toppin. Younger guys with some decent draft choices. I can't say anything about the owner because he'll sue me. But I thought that they did a pretty decent job. I was a little bit taken aback by that. Here I am saying this. it might end up being the worst disaster yet for the Knicks, but I can't believe I'm sitting here saying, hey, I think the Knicks did a pretty decent job. Connor Green surely thinks that hell is frozen over, haven't you, Connor?
I do.
Connor Green joining us. I want Connor to play this clip because I'm going to want his opinion on something here. Now, this was a few weeks ago. A caller got in. I don't know how this started. It was totally organic. And I happened to feel that if there was a great big brouhaha between all head coaches in the NFL, I think Mike Vrabel would win. He's 6'4", 6'5". I think that he could probably beat the brakes off of a lot of coaches out there. This was me on Mike Vrabel just a few weeks ago. Hit it. Do you think Mike Vrabel could kick the ass of every NFL head coach? Like, if they had a 32-man Royal Rumble, is that was your worker shoot? If there was a 32-man Royal Rumble in the NFL, Mike Vrabel would win it? I think he would.
No, but I'm turning that into my question. I'm with you, actually. I think that's a shoot.
He would be hip-tossing every other coach in the NFL
shoot.
Out. Who would kick Mike Vrabel's ass? Nobody. Is there any coach who could even stack up anywhere near Mike Vrabel?
Can the 49ers bring Jim Tomsula back?
Jim Tomsula farted during press conferences. No. Jim Tomsula and a tire iron might be able to get Mike Vrabel. Nobody else could. Who else? Who can you think of? Am I missing anybody?
Romeo Crennel's too old.
Romeo Crennel cannot. Romeo Crennel has to be a manager for somebody and have them fight for him. That man's 73 years old. I don't need him in a ring. Andy Reid? No. Good God, no. Who? Physically, who could beat Mike Vrabel? He could master everybody. He could beat some of the players up. Sorry, this wasn't the work of the shoot. Go ahead.
Matt Patricia, I think he's too slow. It's all that pent-up frustration that he has from these bad 3 years.
Matt Patricia, hey, physical appearance is not supposed to be show fodder. Matt Patricia's put on like what looks like 70 pounds since he's been the head coach of the Detroit Lions. Mike Vrabel was running as tight end the other day. No, he's winning the Royal Rumble. I think he'd win a Tupelo concession stand match. I think he'd win an empty arena match. I think he'd win a street fight brawl with he and Terry Funk. I think he'd win them all against all of them. In a tables, ladders, and chairs match against all the other football coaches out there, Vrabel would win them all. I still want to feel that way. Connor, do you have a name of somebody who could kick the ass of Mike Vrabel? If you name this one name, I'm going to lose it. I swear to God, but go ahead and try.
I don't think there is anybody coaching in the NFL that could beat up Mike Vrabel. I don't think it's even close. The guy's a former player, and he's still in shape like he was when he played. So there's nobody that would be able to take on Mike Vrabel. Nobody.
I don't think so. Now, if Mark Colombo becomes a head coach someday, maybe we'll talk about it. Because Mark Colombo, I'm glad he and Joe Judge didn't get in a fight because basically it's the same thing as me. I got 3 sons, America. If I get in a fist fight with any one of them, I better win. Especially if I get in a fist fight with Axel. Axel's my oldest, and he's 5. I'm not going to get in a fist fight with him now. But there's always that time where you know where you're 17 years old, maybe your dad's been giving you the gears a little bit, and you feel that you could do it. I felt it with my dad. My dad and I are very close. And my dad took the door right off the hinges. He, like, pushed the door down. My mom's upstairs going, "What's going on?" My dad, I've never seen him madder in my life. He looks at me and goes, "What are you going to do? Sit down. You are not man enough to hit me. Sit your ass down." As the father, I better win. As the head coach, if you are actually going to get in a fist fight, not that Joe Judge got in a fist fight with him, Kim Jones' word is gold when it comes to the Giants. I'm dead serious about that. I believe her on everything she says about the New York Giants. She said it didn't happen. It didn't happen. But if they did, Joe Judge better win that fist fight. Because if I'm going to fist fight my sons to keep the respect to anybody, I better win that fist fight. If you fist fight one of your assistant coaches to keep your respect, you better win that fist fight. And so if you're going to go after it with Mark Colombo or John Gruden, who knows that he don't want anything with Tom Cable, I don't care if Tom Cable's lost 140 pounds. Tom Cable could probably swing with the best of them. You better win that fight. I got a lot of people who said with Vrabel, they said Mike Tomlin. Mike Tomlin is 5'8" tall. Mike Vrabel would choke slam Mike Tomlin to hell. You know what name I think could get him, though? I didn't realize, Connor, Brian Flores is 6'2". Brian Flores is yoked. Brian Flores might get Mike Vrabel. We got a couple of Mike Vrabels when we did this. Again, I can't thank Joe Judge enough. I can't thank the dysfunction of the Giants enough. You know who else got brought up to me earlier this week, Connor? You're not gonna believe this. He is a two-time national amateur high school wrestling champion. Sean McDermott. In the words of wrestling, he is an actual shooter. Like, he might be the Kurt Angle of the NFL. I did not realize that Sean McDermott actually wrestled in high school. To me, Connor, that changes everything.
See, that's the great battle between strength versus technique. Would the strength of Mike Vrabel be able to overmatch the technique of McDermott?
Like,
I think probably, but it could be close.
At my biggest, I've actually shrank since college because of my broken back. I was 6'4". I was about at one point I was 6'4", 275. And at one point in college, you're not going to believe this, I benched over 350. I would go against some wrestlers, they would put me right in a pretzel. A guy like John Foster, who's a competitive bodybuilder, would pretzel me up right now. I actually changed my opinion, folks. Mike Vrabel's not the biggest ass kicker in America, not the biggest ass kicker in the NFL. Ladies and gentlemen, Sean McDermott is the new one. I hope Filippone brings it up next. Big thanks to Pierno, Green, Belletti, Herskowitz. They were all great. I'm Ken Carmen. You guys have a wonderful weekend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.